760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. This is The Morning Quest, where we help you find joy in the journey. My name is Josh Harris. Who else is in here?
I'm back.
Oh, you're back. Happy day.
It is a happy day.
Allison is back, so... Hold on,
Dave. It threw us all off yesterday with her not here.
It really did. Without a lady's touch, I mean, it was... Yeah. It was... Yeah, it looked like just a man cave up there.
You guys are crazy.
Can we get a lady's touch on the prayer this morning?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Let's start in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Loving Father, we come before you as one family in faith, asking for your peace to fill our homes and our hearts. Heal the divisions among us, soften what has grown hard, and strengthen the bonds of love that unite us. Lord Jesus, Prince of Peace, dwell among our families, teach us to be patient and kind, quick to forgive, and generous in love. Let your peace quiet every worry and draw us closer to the one another, and to you. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, to which indeed you are called to one body. That's Colossians 3:14-15. Holy Spirit, fill us with your presence so the peace may overflow from our families into the world. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. And talking about peace. So, yeah. So you guys know, I kind of had a little health scare the other day. I was having a hard time with breathing, like just... And it was just kind of...
That's not good.
It wasn't. I mean, mm-hmm. I could breathe, but then I couldn't, like, that resting heart rate seemed a little bit elevated. Mm-hmm. And that was happening, actually, last week a little bit. And I had a little tingling in my calves. So I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. So, yeah, I went to the doctor on Sunday. That's why I wasn't here yesterday. And went back to the doctor again yesterday. But praise God, everything is fine. But again, I never have any medical issues. Never, ever, ever, you know? But, yeah, it kind of took that to make me think to myself, okay, I'm 50 now. Now let's make sure we're eating healthy and stick with my workouts and take care of yourself.
It's so 50 is about when that check engine light comes on.
It's crazy. You know what?
Better get this looked at.
Well, you want to get some good health insurance too. That, you know, like I had to go to the... this is not my style. This hardly ever happens, but my mother is a physician's assistant. My stepfather is a doctor. There was a particular kind of pain I was having, and I had to go to... they're like, you should really go to the ER.
Yeah.
And I go, I get the bill back, $6,000.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like, wait a minute.
I didn't buy a car here.
I know. I mean, Josh. I was like, in the future, I'm feeling so... I'm like going to be so discouraged to go to the ER. My mom like, you broke your leg. I'm like, I'm going to walk it off. Okay. So
go to Earth. I get it.
But praise God, I actually found out the insurance reduced it like big time.
Good,
so they forgot
good.
To run it through insurance. That was the... yes.
Praise God, Josh. Praise
yes.
God.
So it went way, way down. But I'm so glad that you are back in action because, yeah, they were like just Doritos bags all over the place yesterday without you here.
Listen, I know you're not eating them, and I don't think we can't eat in the studio,
no,
Josh.
I'm kidding.
I know you are. I know you are. No, but I think the moral of the story is this.
What is it?
If you feel something that is not normal, have it checked out. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, it's so easy for us to be like, oh, you know what? I'll be okay. It's just something that's going to go away. But I mean, for me to get to the point where I was like, this is not normal. I'm glad I went. Everything turned out great. But again, go. If you're feeling sick, if you're not feeling well, if your heart's bothering you or anything, or breathing, whatever it might be.
So this pain in my chest and down my left arm, I should probably have that looked at?
Dave, yes. We need to
I'm
have
kidding.
It.
I'm kidding.
Listen. No, listen. But truly, if you're not feeling well, if there's something that's off, listen to that and follow through. Please do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's the thing I think that's so important too. Just closing it up, great point, Allison, is peace of mind is important, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, even with the thing I had and I went to the ER for, I could have just been like, you know what? Double or nothing. I'm just going to chill out and wait this thing out. But like, worst case scenario, it could have been not good. Like very, very bad.
Oh, yeah.
You know, something irreversible.
Like death.
Yeah. that's something like that.
We have to take care of ourselves.
Well, seriously.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely. And so, I mean, do I really want to tempt fate? And at the very least, you know, God has it. I'm going to be okay, right? Mm-hmm. And especially financially as well. I was like, yeah, pretty anxious, but then it got ran through insurance. But so I'm so glad you took care of yourself, because what the body is the temple of the
Holy
Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Right. And our health is, it is a mechanism for evangelization.
Oh yeah.
So praise. I've
never thought about that. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jesus sends us out,
mm-hmm.
but again, if we can't take care of ourselves through his grace and the resources he gives us, how can we serve other people?
Amen.
And I just want to say, too, after Josh and I doing the show yesterday, just the two of us.
Somebody forgot something.
Allison, you're not allowed to take any more days off, whether you're sick or not. I'm sorry.
I'm
not allowed. Yeah, we forgot Monday memes yesterday.
Can we do Tuesday memes?
We'll do Monday memes on Tuesday.
There you go.
It's still Monday memes.
Amen.
Just ahead on The Morning Quest.
We got a pretty exciting show. Abigail Byron Goslin with Healing Ministries, Healing Disciples Ministries, continues her micro-retreat experience on healing as she unpacks the mission out of the desert. Our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Bartolo Longo. That's awesome. This guy just got canonized, by the way, last Sunday. Our buddy Father Scott Riley, pastor at St. Brendan the Navigator, reflects on today's gospel reading. But next, Father Siloway, pastor of All Saints in Dunwoody, continues his conversation on living liturgically. And today's going to be talking about All Saints Day. How fitting.
Finding joy in the journey. This is The Morning Quest with Josh and Allison on your Atlanta Catholic Radio. AM 1160, The Quest.
We are joined with, we are back with Father Michael Siloway discussing living liturgically and as he breaks down All Saints Day. How are you, Father?
It's Father Siloway. How are you, Father?
Good morning. I am doing very well, thanks. Y'all doing good?
Yeah, we're better now that we're hanging out with you, Father.
Likewise.
So, Father, November is right around the corner, and on the 1st, it's the Solemnity of All Saints Day, right?
That's absolutely correct, and you know it's a big day around here, because here in Dunwoody, we are the parish of All Saints. So we have a lot of big celebrations planned, and we're going to have a lot of fun come November 1st.
Woohoo!
That's fantastic, and All Saints Day, it's a holy day of obligation typically, right?
It normally is, yes. And so I wanted to use this as a kind of a springboard to talk about Holy Days of Obligation because, mm-hmm. again, normally 6 years out of 7, All Saints Day is in fact a Holy Day of Obligation. But this year it's not, and the Vatican issued some clarification after
really?
Some confusion as to when a Holy Day of Obligation falls on a Monday, is it a Holy Day of Obligation? Yes. When it falls on a Saturday, is it a Holy Day of Obligation? No.
So
there's a lot of confusion about this right now. So All Saints Day this year will not be a Holy Day of Obligation because it falls on a Saturday. But the Immaculate Conception coming up in December falls on a Monday, and it will be a Holy Day of Obligation. So I thought it could be a good springboard to talking about Holy Days of Obligation a little bit and tying it back into All Saints.
I love this. I think it's important to hear, right? Because we hear, oh, tomorrow's a Holy Day of Obligation, and why is that? So why do we have to go to Mass on Holy Days of Obligation, Father?
Yeah. So it actually goes all the way back to our Jewish roots, that the people of God always were seeking ways to sanctify time, just as God sanctified time. You know, even through the 7 days of creation, on that seventh day, God rests. He sets that aside as a time of entering into the glory of what he had created. So the Jews started celebrating the Sabbath day and holding that seventh day of the week as a significant day, of a day of dedicated to God, and everybody would gather in synagogue. Then the development of the different feast days throughout the Jewish year. And we just actually celebrated, and most of them take place in early October usually. So we had Rosh Hashanah, which is the start of the Jewish lunar year and a celebration of creation. You have Yom Kippur, which is the day of atonement for sins. There's Purim, which is the commemorates being saved by Queen Esther's intervention from the destruction of the Jewish people. You read about in the book of Esther. There's obviously Passover, which is where the people were saved from slavery in Egypt and brought into the promised land. So these were high holy days that God commanded them. Mark these on your calendar as perpetual institutions. Celebrate these year after year as a way of sanctifying time. So people would drop everything, and if they were able to, they would go up to Jerusalem to worship God in these celebrations. And they'd come together. The idea of that communal celebration was significantly important as well, celebrating these moments of faith together. And even just in the daily life, talk about living liturgically, the Jews have a practice of sanctifying even the day by setting aside time in the morning, midday, and evening at night, usually of chanting psalms multiple times per day to sanctify the day. So the idea is making time holy. So this all ties into holy days of obligation, I promise, because the earliest Christians continued this practice. Like, first of all, with the celebration of Sunday Mass, it's the day of the resurrection. We sanctify that day and it sanctifies the week. But then even the practice of, well, if the celebration of the Eucharist is a celebration of the resurrection, we can tap into that every day. Ah. So daily Mass becomes a thing. And the same thing of that multiple times a day with the Liturgy of the Hours, the Divine Office, morning prayer, evening prayer, daytime prayer, coming together to pray, lift up psalms, asking God's blessing, sanctifying time. So in the life of the Christian church, the development of these significant moments in our Lord's life and our Lady's life and major saints' lives began to be marked by special feasts that we celebrate throughout the year. Mm-hmm. And those that were most significant and that are not on a fixed calendar date are so important that the church says that we are to celebrate them as a whole church every year together. So the event that we're celebrating is so significant in the life of a disciple of Jesus Christ that we're obliged to set time aside to let it interrupt our regularly scheduled program and come together to worship God together. So those are, just as a refresher for everybody, I'm going through this schedule according to the liturgical calendar, yeah, starting in December with the Immaculate Conception, December 8th, then the birth of Jesus on December 25th, then Mary, Mother of God on January 1st, the Ascension of the Lord after Easter, that 50 days after Easter, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary on the 15th of August, and then finally All Saints Day is kind of the last holy day of obligation.
Wow.
I love it. I love how you unpack that too, Father, breaking down exactly why these are holy days of obligation.
And that beautiful reference to our roots, right? Mm-hmm. Our Jewish roots. And so what is it about All Saints that raises this to a level of holy day of obligation? Normally speaking, yes.
Yeah, because again, it's not a holy day of obligation. You're welcome to come to All Saints and participate in our procession and our Mass and everything that we're going to have on All Saints Day. But normally, it is a holy day of obligation, but this year it's not. But think about it. And there's a part of the creed where we state that we believe in the communion of saints. So this is like one of the central dogmatic elements of our Christian faith, that we believe that those who have died in a state of grace, meaning that they're free from any unconfessed grave sins, they're free from any attachment to sin, they are living and thriving in God's grace. They're alive. They're real. Mm-hmm. They're still connected to us. They are with God in heaven. And when that state of grace can be proven, and when we've got evidence of heroic virtue in their lives, along with two proven miracles attributed to them, the church then goes through the process of canonization, which makes a definitive statement that this person is, in fact, in heaven. And as you alluded to, Josh, right before we started here, Pope Leo just canonized 7 new saints this past weekend. Mm-hmm. So there's this whole calendar and this whole collection of canonized saints, but All Saints Day is the day that as a day sanctifying time draws us all together to worship God at least once a year to celebrate together the fact that there are innumerable more saints in heaven that are unknown.
Yeah. Like
hopefully these people from among our family members, our friends,
yes,
just people all across the world who are in the kingdom of God now, reigning in heaven with him, interceding for us on earth. And so why is it a holy day of obligation? Normally, because we celebrate everyone who's in heaven and we allow that grace to remind us to strive for holiness ourselves, to kind of re-up our game, as it were, to live for Christ, to reject sin and temptation, to thrive in the power of Jesus for the kingdom of God, to achieve the goal for which we were here in the first place. As one French author, Leon Boyle, put it, the only true tragedy in life is to not become a saint.
Wow. A beautiful explanation. And again, for those that say, I don't want to be a saint. Oh my goodness gracious. That's our goal. That's what we're called to do.
Yeah.
I'll pray for their conversion.
Yeah. And yeah. I think about what Mother Angelica shared, Father. She would say, aim for heaven because, at the worst, you kind of will land in purgatory. But don't shoot for purgatory because the alternative is far. If you miss the mark, the alternative is far worse. This is incredible. Where can people go if they want to participate in All Saints' incredible celebration?
Yeah, so hopefully their own parish is having some form of All Saints' Day celebration. Now, because it falls on a Saturday and All Souls' Day then is on Sunday, which I want to talk about next week.
Yeah.
The All Saints' Day celebrations have to end before the Vigil Mass begins because All Souls' Day trumps as a liturgical celebration on that hierarchy of progressive solemnity, as it's called.
Really?
But for us, we have Mass and we're going to have a big procession. Kids can come dressed in their saint costumes.
Love it.
A procession at 11 o'clock. And our church is just reopening. We've had a massive ceiling project going on. We've had masses in the gym. But we've got all these beautiful portraits of the saints that we're going to bring back into the church in the procession as well. So this big procession at 11 o'clock that leads straight into Mass. Everybody's welcome. It's going to be like a parish reopening. It's going to be so joyful. That's 11 o'clock here this Saturday.
That is fantastic. Thank you so much, Father Silloway, pastor of All Saints in Dunwoody, for breaking down this beautiful topic on All Saints and helping us live liturgically. We are so grateful.
You're welcome. God bless everyone.
God bless you, Father.
Still to come on The Morning Quest.
Abigail Byron Goslin with Healing Disciples Ministries continues her micro-retreat experience on healing as she unpacks the mission out of the desert. Remember our memory verse this week, Philippians 4:6. Have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Barto Longo. But next, Father Scott Riley, pastor at St. Brendan the Navigator in Cumming, Georgia, reflects on today's gospel reading.
Father Scott Riley, pastor at St. Brendan the Navigator in Cumming, is back, and he is going to be diving into today's gospel. Good morning, Father.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Father. How are you?
I'm doing great. So today's gospel is from Luke 12:35-38. Jesus said to his disciples, "Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, the thing that occurs to me, there's several little pieces here we could reflect on. Number one, having an eternal life outlook. I remember a video I watched on this, the main actor in Jean Valjean's, in the Les Miserables,
the
25th anniversary. So his name is Alfie Beau. He was talking about how his, he was there for his father's death and, describing it in detail and how he felt when his dad went to the Lord. He said he could just feel the soul going.
Mm.
And then the interviewer, this lady, I don't remember her name, but she was like, "Aw, do you really believe that?"
Wow.
And he said, "Of course I do. I mean, why else am I trying to be good in this life? I believe in heaven and I believe in hell. And those are really holy and healthy, realities. And we need to keep that front and center of our hearts and our minds, that there is eternal life and one chooses to go where one will go." And I think that's important to meditate on. It really directs your life, from being so irresponsible with one's decisions.
That's just a great point. And that's a good argument for the existence of God too, Father, is the argument of morality. Like, why is there any morality? Why is there, if there is no eternal creator, how could there be an objective good?
Right.
And yet throughout the ages, there has been a societal standard of what's acceptable and unacceptable, and there's these big ticket items that are kind of universally embraced. It's like God's natural law is etched upon our heart.
like marriage.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, in all societies, it's a between a man and a woman. You know,
yeah.
All society. How that's actually, you know, looks, it's so different with the different cultures. But the main ingredients are there. And no matter what a state, a nation says, does not make that the otherwise, like a man and a man and a woman, right.
Yeah.
Doesn't. And that's where God's law is above human law.
Yeah.
And human law has to be purified. That's why, for example, in the missionaries, when they go to these different lands to preach the gospel, it wasn't like taking what we have today, the affirmation therapy, where you just affirm the client, the patient, in their psychosis. Like, oh, good for you. Hey, I can really get some doctors that can help you in this. And this is a big issue because coming up, the Supreme Court is going to be ruling on a conversion therapy issue. I think it's in Colorado, I believe. There are like 23 states that psychologists will go to jail if they actually introduce a different way of thinking their psychosis, whether it be, transgender. I'm feeling I need to get out of this. I don't know. But, well, you just got to affirm them in their psychosis.
Mm.
Now, conversion therapy today is not where it was like in the 50s or whatever, where you have people take chemicals or medicines or electric shock and all that. No, it's just simply, as the Catholic perspective, presenting them what the church teaches and helping them to come to understand what those truths are. And then they, in the end, they will have to decide what they want to choose. You can't just simply state, and this is the scandal of it, is when a priest doesn't call an ace, like homosexual acts are in themselves wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The one that if he has or she has same sex attraction, that's not a sin in itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's the acting upon those things. It's just like for a heterosexual, he's or she is attracted to a person that's not their spouse, doesn't constitute a sin.
Yeah.
It's the acting on that that constitutes the sin. And hence, this is the whole area of emotional regulation, where an emotion in itself is not sinful. It is how one is acting upon those emotions. That's where the sin can happen, or, you know, not a sin. It's like, yes. So if you're in the context of a valid marriage, and you're attracted to your spouse and you gauge in the marital act because you have those emotions, those passions running in that direction, and you do not impede the marital act through contraception, it's all blessed by God. It's wanted by God, you know?
And well, the other thing, Father, that I think this ties back to in the gospel is, you know, girding your loins and, you know, keeping your lamps burning like men waiting for their master to come home. And abiding in God's law and God's will, right? Regardless if it's with one's attractions or, this devout fidelity to one's spouse. I mean, that is, I think, keeping watch with Christ, you know, is saying, okay, I'm going to say yes to your law, your will, and your plan for my life. And there's a great group in the Catholic Church that one of our dear friends who does the Friday Gospel Reflections a lot, Father Mark White, is one of the chaplains for Courage, for men in the church that have same-sex attractions but are choosing to abide within, you know, God's best plan for their life relationally, you know? And so, but the truth is, I think a lot of these, regardless if someone's in courage or if somebody's married, you know, there's always going to be a desire or an attraction that is counter to God's will. And, you know, we'll always have to kind of gird our loins and, you know, surrender to him bit by bit. And so I'm wondering, maybe for a takeaway, Father, how do people kind of keep watch in those instances and stay faithful to Christ's
call? Yeah, it's a great question. I think, first of all, understanding the hierarchy of one's faculties.
Yeah.
You know, number one is your intellect. So the intellect seeks the truth.
Yeah.
So I am obliged to know the truth. And it's funny, you know, like giving a homily, I don't invent anything. I just keep repeating the truths of the gospel, and yet everyone is eating it up. Why is that? Because we're made for truth.
Yeah.
Like we're made for water. We're made for food. So we keep eating because we're made for it. We're hungry. You see. So secondly, the will. So it's this order, you know, intellect, the will. Then the will chooses the good that is presented by the intellect. And then third is our emotions. It's not about stifling our emotions. It's about discerning them, because God can speak very well through our emotions, and we can be very fearful, but we could be fearful in the wrong way. But God is speaking. He's like, then I need to just talk to God about why am I fearful of going out on stage? You know, because maybe the deep, deep issue is a deeply seated vanity.
Yeah.
Fearing to fail. You see?
Yeah.
And God wants that person to discover that there's a fear of failure and a lack of trust in Him and a lack of trust in oneself, given the qualities one has received from, you know, his or her creator. So I think that knowing that, and then a second takeaway is don't stifle your feelings, discern them. And talk to God heart to heart about what one feels. And then allow Him to speak to you.
Beautiful. Well said. Mic drop moment. Thank you so much, Father Scott.
Love it.
Father Scott Riley, or should I say Pastor Scott Riley,
who's Pastor of St. Brendan the Navigator.
Yes, they are blessed over there. So we thank you, Father. Looking forward to the next reflection.
God bless you.
In celebration, by the way, this is from the Catholic News Agency, in celebration of the 99th World Mission Day on October 19th, the Vatican's news agency Fides released new global statistics on the Church's mission in the world. This is pretty impressive. The number of Catholics rose to nearly 1.4 billion.
Ooh.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Now, 17.8% of the world's population.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the greatest growth came from Africa and the Americas, while Europe and Asia also saw smaller increases. But the report also noted fewer priests and seminarians, especially in Europe, even as Africa and Asia continue to see new vocations. So worldwide, the church runs more than 250,000 schools and 100,000 charitable institutions, from hospitals to homes for the elderly.
Marvelous.
Yep, pretty encouraging.
Later on the Morning Quest,
Abigail Byron Gosson with Healing Disciples Ministries continues her micro retreat experience on healing as she unpacks the mission out of the desert. Remember our memory verse for the week: have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. That's Philippians 4:6. Our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Bartolo Longo, and that is next.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest. Finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with the saint.
It's 8:36.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison. Today we feature perhaps the most unlikeliest of saints in the history of our church. A very timely one as well, as he was canonized just 3 days ago on the 19th of October. And, you know, fresh off the heels of yesterday's segment where we discussed the soul hunter, talking about St. Paul of the Cross, one of my favorite members of the Communion of Saints. Today we are introduced to a man who, for a portion of his life, was the very antithesis of St. Paul of the Cross, a man who, during the early stages of his life, did everything he could to repel souls from Jesus, hunting them down instead for the enemy, a man who served as a satanic high priest for a portion of his life. Saint Bartolo Longo was an Italian lawyer and former satanic priest who returned to the Catholic faith, doing so with a divine vengeance.
Wow.
He became a Dominican tertiary, dedicating his life to the Rosary and the Virgin Mary, making the placement of his feast day in this month of October quite appropriate.
Yeah.
And then October is the month of the Holy Rosary in the Catholic Church, as many of our listeners know. He would go on to be awarded with the papal knighthood of the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem. It was Pope John Paul II who beatified Bartolo Longo on October 26th back in the year 1980. So this was a number of years ago during the early stages of JP2's pontificate. So obviously a lot of thought has to go into canonizing
absolutely.
A man who once worshipped Satan,
yes.
was a priest for Satan. But JP2 did refer to him as, and I quote, the man of the Virgin Mary.
Oh.
He was canonized by Pope Leo XIV on October the 19th, 2025. As I said, just a few days ago.
Yes, that's amazing.
One of the first saints for Pope Leo XIV to canonize. You know, this one flies a little under the radar as opposed to Carlo Acutis.
Yeah.
And perhaps for good reason. But his story begins on February 11th in the year 1841, when a sweet-tempered physician's wife of Latiano, Italy, gave birth to a son whom she named Bartolo. Devoted to our Lord and his mother, she taught all her children to pray the rosary daily and to visit and care for the poor, while Dr. Luongo instilled in them a love of music and beauty. So he had a good upbringing.
Yeah.
The priest who educated Bartolo found him to be highly intelligent, cordial, and accommodating, although he was prone from time to time to have a bit of a temper. When Bartolo was 10 years old, though, his mother died, and slowly Bartolo began to drift away from his faith. Eventually, he studied law from a private tutor, then attended university to continue his studies. And this is where things appear to have gone off the tracks for Bartolo. He became enmeshed in the political movements and spiritism that was so popular with college students at that time in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Deeply involved with a satanic sect, Bartolo aspired to the satanic priesthood. So he entered upon a long preparation of studies, fasting, and mortifications. I find it interesting that they would engage in the same spiritual tactics that Christians do.
Yes, yes.
On the night of his ordination by a satanic bishop, it was said that the walls of the church shook with thunder, while blasphemous disembodied shrieks echoed throughout the air.
Wow.
Bartolo fainted with fright, and for a while afterwards was deeply tormented and even physically ill. So at this point in time, he's probably thinking he may have made a pretty big mistake.
Yeah.
But despite this, the depression and the nervousness, he exercised his satanic priesthood by preaching, officiating at satanic rites, and publicly ridiculing Catholicism and everyone and everything connected with it.
Wow.
During these bleak years, the Luongo family was praying tirelessly for Bartolo. And then one night, he thought he heard the voice of his dead father begging him to return to God. Troubled, he paid a visit to one of his friends from Latiano, Professor Vincenzo Pepe, who was living and teaching near Naples. He was shocked by Bartolo's appearance, and he exclaimed to him, and I quote, "Do you want to die in an insane asylum and be damned forever?" When Bartolo admitted his mental confusion, Pepe took him under his left wing. He introduced the troubled young man to many holy people who gave him support and counsel.
Nice.
One of these was a well-educated Dominican priest, Alberto Redente, who gave Bartolo a detailed course in the Catholic faith, which including the writings of the likes of St. Thomas Aquinas. Mm-hmm. After much study, prayer, and a lengthy confession, Bartolo was again admitted to the sacraments. On the Feast of the Annunciation on March the 25th that year, and this was in the year 1871, Bartolo was professed into the Third Order of St. Dominic and given the name of Brother Rosary in recognition of his favorite daily prayer. To complete his break with Satanism, the new convert made one final visit to a seance, held up a medal of Our Lady, and cried out that he renounced Spiritism because it was, and I quote, a maze of error and falsehood.
Wow.
This must have been a very dramatic scene.
Oh, I'm sure.
To show up to a seance.
Oh, my gosh.
And that, I'm sure that was not what they expected from him.
Bring the presence of Our Lady.
Yeah. Yeah. That must have broke things up pretty quickly.
Oh, yes.
He then went to student parties and cafes, denouncing the, quote, religion he had formerly embraced and proclaiming his faith in the Catholic Church. This was a brave thing to do, as the Catholic Church was at the time being suppressed. He considered becoming a priest even, but was discouraged by both friends and his spiritual director. After making a retreat, he discerned not to marry, but rather to devote himself unreservedly to God and Our Lady. In fact, he would later write these words. Allison, I think you have them there.
He said, "I place myself, my God, in your hands. As a son, I abandon myself to your fatherly embrace. Roll and roll again this mud. It has nothing to say. It is enough that it serve your designs and not resist your will for which I was made. Ask, command, prohibit. What do you wish that I do or that I not do? lifted up, knocked down, suffering, dedicated to your works by sacrificing my will to yours. I can only say, as Mary did, behold, I am your servant. O Lord, let it be done to me according to your word. Wow.
Yeah. And despite his repentance, he was tormented by the fact that he was still consecrated to Satan. And as such, was his slave and his property, and that the evil one awaited him in hell. In fact, he was on the verge of suicide when he remembered the words of the Blessed Virgin Mary, who, as we know, said, "One who propagates my rosary shall be saved."
Mm-hmm.
And these words suddenly illuminated his soul. Falling to his knees, he offered these words.
Yes, if your words are true, that he who propagates your rosary will be saved, I shall receive salvation because I shall not leave this earth without propagating your rosary.
Yeah, and at that moment, the little bell of the parish church rang out, inviting the people to pray the Angelus. In this instant was like a signature in his firm decision.
Yes.
And later, he did write, "What is my vocation? To write about Mary, to have Mary praised, and to have Mary loved."
Oh, my gosh.
And he wasted no time in accomplishing this. Beginning in the year 1873, he organized a yearly rosary feast, incorporating music and fireworks, races, even a lottery into the festivities. And in 1875, as part of a parish mission, he invited a group of priests to speak about devotion to the rosary.
Yeah.
To conclude the mission, he promised to display a painting of Our Lady of the Rosary, and the painting that he obtained had been the cause of numerous miracles of healing. He constructed a church to hold this image, and then around it, an entire city dedicated to helping orphans and the poor. Wrote books about the rosary, composed novenas and a prayer manual. And in all these works, he was assisted by a countess. And when rumors began to spread about the relationship between this countess, a widow, and this handsome, intelligent lawyer, Bartolo and the countess consulted with their friend, who was none other than Pope Leo XIII.
Oh.
How about that?
Wow.
Who was, of course, a great devotee of the rosary in his own right.
Yeah.
And he said, and I quote, "Lawyer, you are free. Countess, you are a widow. Get married, and no one can say anything against you."
Oh, wow.
So Bartolo was probably conflicted at this point because he did take that vow of chastity. But on April the 7th in 1885, they were married. It was a chaste union, for Bartolo, again, had taken a vow of chastity.
Yeah.
The couple continued their charitable works until the countess's death in the year 1924. So this was a dynamic duo.
Wow.
Doing great work. I mean, the things that they did. So a great saint today. Anyone who doesn't think they can become a saint, well,
you can.
You probably were never a Satan high priest.
Yes.
So it's a reminder to us that many come to the vineyard at 5 p.m., as the parable talks of, and it's never too late. And just a remarkable story all around. St. Bartolo Longo.
Pray for us.
The Morning Quest keeps on rolling on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio.
It is 8:45, and I need something in my life. Do you know what that thing is?
You missed it yesterday, and you're going to get it today.
Yes.
So bring it.
Monday memes on a Tuesday. Some of them silly, some of them dad jokes, some of them inspirational.
And I think you saved it for today so I can have some inspiration.
So you can have some inspiration, absolutely. My favorite exercise is a cross between a lunge and a crunch. I call it lunch.
I like that one. I like that one.
That one is so...
If you're going to put someone down, put them down on your prayer list.
Oh, I like that.
Man, that's good.
That's a good one.
It really is. That really is great.
Because those are the people you really need to pray for.
Yes.
Yeah.
The ones that you're angry at or what.
Absolutely.
Well, there's that phrase, the people who are hardest to love need it the most.
Yes, yes, true.
The church doesn't need more people who think they're leaders. It needs more people who know they're servants.
Amen to that, too.
Get them, Dad.
That's right.
You're on fire today.
You know, every generation before us could grow food, build a fire, and fix what broke. Now people panic if the Wi-Fi goes down.
And I've seen it happen before.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Absolutely.
Everything stops.
It ain't like my granddad's generation.
They absolutely saved
the world by storming the beaches of Normandy, man.
Yeah, my dad served in World War II. And
A whole different. Only beach I stormed was Cancun, dude.
Oh, gosh.
And for Allison, we'll close on this
one.
Please do. God understands our prayers even when we can't find the words to say
them. Oh, beautiful.
You don't have to word it perfectly. He knows what you're thinking, what you're feeling.
He knows our hearts.
Amen. Absolutely.
Thanks, Dave.
Amen. Dad her up. You kid it out of the park, buddy.
Coming up on The Morning Quest.
Abigail Byron Gosling continues her micro retreat. And today the theme is out of the desert. We are joined by Abigail Byron Gosling from Healing Disciples Ministry, continuing the micro retreat experience as she impacts the mission out of the desert. How fitting. So glad that you're here with us.
Welcome back. Good to be with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. And so, where do we begin?
Yeah, this week we're going to be reclaiming our minds for Christ and coming out of the deserts in our lives. If you weren't able to enter into the resurrection last week, I just want to encourage you that you're not forgotten. The fruit of this mystery this week is hope. So let's hold each other in hope of the resurrection as we continue this journey. Mm-hmm. Last week, our prayer tool was the cleansing of faculties prayer, and our prayer experience was the cross, the tomb, and the resurrection. And we talked briefly about the impact that lies can have on us and on ourselves and on our experience of God. And this week, we're going to be going a bit deeper into that and working to reclaim our minds for Christ by identifying and rejecting core identity lies in our lives. So for many of us, I think our minds can definitely be a battlefield, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Too much.
Yes. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, we're encouraged to take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. Easier said than done, right? Mm-hmm. but before Christ begins his mission in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, he enters into the desert to be tempted by the devil. This passage is usually interpreted by the church as a teaching about the types of temptations that we face, the world, the flesh, and the devil. But today, in reference to reclaiming our minds for Christ, I want to draw your attention to a different aspect of this story that isn't often talked about. In the temptation in the desert, Christ isn't just rejecting temptation. He's also showing us how to reject the core identity lies that the devil loves to use against all of us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He's standing firm in his identity, and he's refusing to take these lies on as his own. Jesus has been fasting. Mm-hmm. So the first one we see coming at him, he's been fasting. He's definitely hungry, right? Mm-hmm. And the devil proposes to him to turn this rock into bread. And as Jesus rejects that temptation, he's actually rejecting that he is not how he feels. So you are not how you feel. Jesus chooses to instead affirm the truth that he is not how he feels and that he will not allow his feeling of hunger to consume him. He had hunger, but he didn't allow his experience of the flesh to determine his actions. Mm-hmm. Jesus then rejects the temptation of the world as the devil promises him everything if he would just bow down and worship him. It's in this moment that Jesus is standing firm and rejecting the core identity lie that he is what he has. You are not what you have. You can have absolutely nothing, and yet you could still have dignity and worth in God's eyes. Jesus reaffirms the truth that we are not what we have. And the next one's a twofold temptation that comes from the devil. And he explains that, or he tries to get Jesus to believe that he is what others think and what others say about them. As he says to Jesus, "You are the Son of God, so throw yourself off this temple." Jesus, who is perfectly capable of surviving such a thing, instead rejects that temptation to be defined by his actions and by what someone other than God is saying about him. The core identity lies that he's rejecting are that you are what we do, and that we are what others think or say about us. Mm. You are not what you do, and your doing doesn't define you. This is very counter to what the world tells us, right? Mm-hmm. And you're not what others think or say about you. You are who God says you are. You're his beloved child, and that one single statement encompasses everything you were, everything you are, everything you will be. When we hold fast to this core identity and reject every other temptation to add to it, we fortify our hearts and our minds against identity attacks, disordered attachments, and lies. God and God alone defines us. The quest to define ourselves is something, is a restlessness that's coming from the world, not from him. He already knows us as his. You have one identity in him, beloved. In resisting the temptation to need to further define or interpret that prevents us from creating false selves apart from him. It prevents disordered attachments. It stops ego, pride, and vanity in their tracks. Guys, right relationship with God is the remedy to right relationship with ourselves.
Amen.
We arm ourselves with these core identity truths, we become absolutely untouchable by the enemy. So many of his usual dreams and schemes just can't even hold up in our lives because our identity is so solid in Christ alone.
Wow. So what do we do then if we realize some of these core lies and have taken on perhaps false identities, you know, head in a direction that just isn't in alignment with God's best for us?
Yeah, that's a great question, Josh. Thank you. And that our prayer tool this week is going to help us with that. So our method for this week is called the 5 R's. And depending on the ministry that you might be hearing this from, they substitute out those R's for different words. But the process is the same. So the 5 R's. The first one is recognize, renounce, repent, release, and then replace or receive. So in prayer, we can ask God to help us to recognize the lies and the false beliefs. And once we're aware of them, we can then renounce them in the name of Jesus Christ. And then we can repent for believing them in any ways that we might have perpetuated them or taught them to others. And then last, we release ourselves and others from that unforgiveness. As we do that, we're then able to replace those lies with the truth and receive the truth in the place of what we were believing. Sounds pretty simple, right?
Yeah.
Sounds simple, but
yeah. So let me actually give you an example of this, because I realize mm-hmm. it can be a little hard to understand. So a prayer that might come out of this process. So I'm going to renounce one of the lies that came against me and against my ministry. So in the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce the lie and the limiting belief that I will never be who God made me to be, and I replace it with the truth that I am becoming who God has made me to be. And I ask for your forgiveness, Lord, for the ways that I've not lived in or accepted this truth in my life, and I forgive those who may have taught me to doubt in your plan for my life or mm-hmm. doubt in who you're making me to be. I choose to forgive them and myself, and I thank you, Lord, for helping me to become who you've made me to be. Help me to receive and to live my identity more fully in you, Lord, and not in myself or in others. Amen.
Amen. Wow.
Amen. Gosh. Wow, that's powerful. Thank you so much. And so which direction are we heading in now?
Yeah, so this week, our Decade of the Rosary is for the Ascension. And so as we enter into the glorious mystery this week, we enter into the mystery of Christ with the desire to ascend to our higher selves in him. And I would just encourage you, as you're reclaiming your mind for Christ, to surrender any false selves, lies, or limiting beliefs you may have over to the Lord as we enter into this prayer. So from Mark chapter 16, verse 19, then after speaking to them, Lord Jesus was taken up into heaven and took his seat at God's right hand. The fruit of this mystery is hope. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.